We need Our Lady, and we need to be in love with her if we want to become saints and enter heaven. One of the ways that we fall in love with people is by seeing the things that they do for us. Now, if you saw what Our Lady does for the souls in purgatory, you would understand why they love her. And then your love for her would grow incredibly, and in turn, you would see all the amazing things that she will do for you right now and for the rest of your life. I will present to you some incredible visions that reveal to us the unbelievable role of the Blessed Mother in purgatory. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, these visions are taken from two books, The Unpublished Manuscript on Purgatory and Visions of Purgatory. Purgatory is, and what it means to know that we are here through our own fault. I have been here 8 years, and it seems to me like 10,000. Oh my God, tell all this to the Father, so that he may learn from me what this place of suffering is like and may make it better known in the future. He will be able to find out for himself how profitable it is to have a great devotion to the holy souls in purgatory. God often accords more graces through the intercession of these suffering souls than through the prayers of the saints. Let the Father, when he wishes to be sure of obtaining what he wants, ask the souls who have loved Our Lady most. These, in consequence, she wishes most of all to release. He will see whether his prayer is heard or not. When we look out into the world, it's not always the case that we can affect a lot of change. Sometimes we feel like we can do hardly anything, looking at all the evil that is out there. Not so after we die. Can you imagine being one of these souls in purgatory, those that loved Our Lady most? And how much, since you love Our Lady, and one of the things that she has is incredible intercessory power, and when you love her, you share in that power, that after you die, you will be able to affect change through your prayer in the world in ways that you cannot imagine. So if you ever feel like your life has no purpose or you can't change anything, you will be able to change things, even from purgatory, if you love Our Lady. We continue. On finishing my prayer, I saw Our Lady standing in an immense brilliance, with her hands raised to heaven and her heart resplendent. Waves of light that surged from this maternal heart flowed from three large rivers into purgatory, and the poor souls came there to quench their thirst and to bathe in it. I understood the symbol very well, but the souls in purgatory did something else that surprised me. They drank from one of the clear rivers and bathed in the second, obtaining all kinds of joy and consolations. But in the waters of the third river, they looked at the reflection. My guardian angel explained what I was seeing. These holy souls are not just looking at themselves. They are looking at themselves in the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary, the image of the holiness of God. When they look at themselves in the water that springs from her loving heart, they see themselves as they are, still loaded down with the remains of sin, still needing expiation. These three rivers form an image. The Immaculate Virgin is a custodian of the truth. The holy souls in purgatory know this, and thus they submerge themselves in Mary the truth. They drink of Mary the truth, and they contemplate the truth in Mary. These are the great consolations they receive in purgatory, contemplating in Mary Immaculate the eternal truth, and receiving from Mary Immaculate the eternal truth. This triple river surges from the heart of our Queen and has its source in the Eucharistic heart of Jesus, who is the eternal truth. Mary is the mediator. You do not know this well, but the blessed souls in purgatory, who are beggars of love, poor and avid for truth, know it well. In the eternal heart of Mary, open upon the whole church, they contemplate what you very often forget, the gift of infinite love. My soul marveled. I saw the Most Blessed Virgin, and I rejoiced in seeing her, and she, with her hands elevated, interceded for all her children. But here below, we forget the gift of our mother. The angel concluded, Mary gives you to Jesus. You very often think you are very rich because you are filled with yourselves and do not pay any attention to the gift of your mother. But the holy souls in purgatory who are very needy, who are detached from themselves, receive the gift of Jesus in Mary with an immense gratitude. One of the things that we can learn from the souls in purgatory is their incredible humility rooted in their knowledge of their own poverty. They know that they have nothing in and of themselves. We know this intellectually, but we don't live it out. We act as if we're independent and self-sufficient, that we provide for ourselves, that we have stored for ourselves all these treasures. Rather, we should learn from the souls in purgatory. If we really want to love God, we need to know how much we need Him. Right now, He's, in a sense, letting us live in this illusion that we don't need Him, that we exist on our own. One of the great deceptions of Satan. That's why he fell. He didn't realize how much he needed God. We need God more than the air we breathe. We need to let that sink in. If we were truly humble and poor as we are, if we saw the truth, we would depend on God and then love Him. And we would depend on Our Lady and then love her. Let's continue. I have also seen Our Lady walking around gathering into her Immaculate Heart all our gifts and offerings. Later, she presents herself before the throne of the Divine Trinity and shows her heart filled with what we have given her. Then Jesus receives it, but He keeps a large part in the heart of Mary and adds blood and water that comes forth from His Divine Heart. Her heart filled with the divine gifts of water and blood, Mary then goes to purgatory, where she opens her maternal heart. The blood and water deposited there by Jesus overflow like a beneficial rain. Mary adds her tears and love, and the souls receive immense relief. Then Our Lady leaves purgatory, and her heart is filled with the gratitude and prayers of the suffering souls, which she presents to Jesus. He receives them and exchanges them for water and blood. Then the Most Blessed Virgin returns to earth, to the Church Militant, and pours out the water and blood. After this, she goes across the earth's surface to collect prayers, suffrages, and good works, and she presents them to her Divine Son, who turns them into consolations and graces for the holy souls in purgatory. Jesus chooses not to work alone. That is one of the things that I love the most about Him, that He who needs people the least uses them the most, whereas we who really need other people refuse to work for other people or with other people for all types of reasons that we think are good, because they're a nuisance or we don't like them or whatever is the case. But we see here the incredible way that He uses the Blessed Mother. He makes it as if He needs her, even in collecting our own prayers. So when we speak to Jesus, she is the one who is taking it to Him. Therefore, we should be aware of this and humbly work with her, knowing that she comes to us looking for prayers. Let's not disappoint her. Let's not leave her empty-handed, giving her nothing to take to our Lord. Let's continue. And the next part is incredible because we see the role that she plays with the saints. The Solemnity of All Saints, one of my favorite feast days. I contemplated the glory of God and His elect, of the mercy of God, of which we are all invited to partake. After Mass, my angel approached me as I finished my thanksgiving at the altar of Our Lady, and he showed me something very beautiful. It was a castle of fire in the middle of an ocean of light. All was so resplendent that I had to look away, while my angel, on the other hand, did not stop inviting me to contemplate it. Little by little, I was able to see it more easily. There was an ocean of light with two shores, one quite somber and heavy, dark and rough, is our earth here below, the other indescribable, radiant with light, splendor, and harmony, is heaven. There is a constant movement between these two shores, and also between both the castle of fire and the ocean of light. It is a movement of souls who by hundreds or thousands come each day from earth to go to heaven. A few enter immediately and many others make a stop, more or less long, more or less painful, in the castle of fire, which I understood to be a symbol of purgatory. There are also angels who, also without ceasing, go in perfect harmony and diligence from heaven to earth to purgatory, and from earth to heaven to purgatory, and from purgatory to earth or to heaven. They carry all kinds of things in their arms. The angel told me to look at heaven. There all is harmony and splendor, happiness and jubilation, an ecstasy of love around the mystery of the Holy Trinity. I saw the Holy Trinity on a throne, but it was hidden from my gaze by a cloud so brilliant that I had difficulty in looking beyond it. I saw divine love extending in luminous waves in heaven, in purgatory and on earth. All creatures were immersed in waves of infinite love. It seemed to me that a powerful attraction of love was being exercised from the throne of the Holy Trinity. There was a strong and ardent current of love, sweet and gentle, in which all of creation, including hell, were held in some sway. The saints in heaven surrendered themselves without reserve to this attraction of love and a yearning of ecstasy that they continually direct toward God, who constantly gives himself to them in fullness. Thus the saints are called to participate in this attraction of God over all creation, to love all that God loves and to give him glory. I feel incapable to speak of all this. After this, the angel asked me to look toward the castle of fire, and I saw that all purgatory is under a powerful divine attraction of infinite love, which weighs upon it in some way. I understood that the punishment of purgatory consists in supporting with gratitude this great attraction of love without the holy souls being able to presently correspond fully. The saints in heaven press with all the weight of their love on purgatory in this attraction of divine love. It is a prayer of the elect for purgatory, the exercise of their love and the divine love that saturates and colors purgatory. Then I understood that the prayer and love of the saints for purgatory are different from what we feel here below for these same souls. I saw in the midst of all the saints Mary Immaculate, their mother and queen. In her rests all the attraction of the love of God before it is poured out in waves over all of creation. She receives this treasure from the Eucharistic heart of Jesus, who pours it into her heart before it flows to all creation. All the saints surround their mother and queen, who is close to Jesus. This is a wonderful mystery. The saints praying and interceding in heaven, united to Mary, always with her and like her, acting always with Jesus and like him as she does. Even in heaven, as mother and queen, Mary is a mediator of love between God and the saints. The humility that you see in the souls in purgatory who utterly depend and choose to depend on Our Lady is mirrored in the saints. Because they are in heaven, that doesn't mean they need Our Lady less. In fact, they depend on her and are united to her even more. She plays that incredible role, crucial to them in their relationship with God, and they want this. They choose this and they allow this. So we should also imitate their example. Lastly, we will hear what happens on one of her feast days, as well as a warning that Our Lady wants to give us. My soul was still under the impact of the vision of purgatory that was shown to me yesterday, and I was praying for the holy souls above all today on the feast of the expectation of the Virgin Mary. In the light of this feast, I offered God the calm expectation of his mother in favor of these poor souls who are consumed in such a painful waiting. In effect, just as God was glorified by Mary's calm and trusting waiting, so he is glorified by the waiting of the souls in purgatory, although in a different way. Our Lady has the role of interceding for them. This intention occupies a great part of my day, but the closeness of Christmas fills my soul with peace, joy, strength, and confidence. As evening fell, my holy angel appeared. He said to me encouragingly, "In these days of Christmas, you will not see purgatory anymore. that should incite you to a greater faithfulness in your prayers in favor of the souls in purgatory. When looking at them, let your soul direct to the Almighty this simple supplication, "My God, everything for them." Steep yourself well in the meaning of these words. Say them with faith and love, and do not forget that an abundance of words are not needed to express your charity. Understand well that it is important for you to pray for the souls in purgatory. It is one of your duties of charity, and if you fail in this duty to God, you will be severely punished. There are many souls who are in purgatory making expiation for not having prayed for the departed ones who were close to them. From these visions, we come to understand that when we unite ourselves to Our Lady more fully, we can intercede more powerfully like her for the souls in purgatory. Then, upon our death, we will be one of those Marian souls in purgatory, the souls in purgatory that particularly loved her, the ones that she wants to release the most, and the ones who have some of the greatest intercessory power there, so that we can effect more change even while in purgatory, and certainly when we get to heaven. Unite yourself more fully to Our Lady so that you can help her in her mission and our mission of emptying purgatory. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.